Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guests this week, Shane Joseph and Jennifer Bogart. Each week, we visit with authors of all kinds and sometimes editors, teachers or publishers who have regional or local connections. And in this case, they are working together. We hope to find out a little about their lives, what prompts them to write. We give them an opportunity to read some of their work for us, and we're very pleased to have Shane Joseph and Jennifer Bogart with us today for return visits. Shane Joseph is a well-known author and publisher who has won several awards for his writing. He's about to publish a new collection of short stories called Crossing Limbo. Jennifer Bogart has written several children's and women's novels and is also a publisher. She runs Morning Rain Publishing in Coburg with two associates. Jennifer and Shane have made episodes of Word on the Hills with us before, so welcome back to you both.
It's nice to be here.
Good. You told me, Shane, this collection took you 10 years to compile. Now, why was that? Does the collection have a theme?
Yes, it does. We found out that there was a theme when we put the stories together. And it's about, as you said, crossing limbo. All of the characters are in some journey through life, and they are lost. And they're trying to get themselves back. And limbo is a place that, you know, people sort of are in a sort of a holding pattern before they are finally released to paradise. And these people are also trying to find a way out to get out of their personal limbo. And so that's why we call it crossing limbo. The reason for crossing limbo is because some of the folks do get out, some don't. And some are left perpetually struggling. So we thought that was a good title to assemble
so
the stories.
It's not the title of a story in the collection.
No, in fact, none of them have. In fact, the name Limbo occurs twice. In the first story, where you see these characters actually entering limbo. And in the last story, when the protagonist says that she feels she has crossed limbo. And everyone in between is somewhere in the middle of that journey.
Very neat. Very neat. So why do you write about such dark subjects as murder, swinging, sexual abuse, suicide, and despotism?
Well, I hope all of these titles don't get me run out of town. But the reason I do write about these is because I think human nature and human character is revealed best at these inflection points where these dark deeds take place. And the best way to find out how humans behave, either nobly or ignobly, is when they're faced with a murder or sexual abuse or suicide or one of those kind of darker sides of human nature. And so that's why I kind of go into these spots, because that's where I will place my character and then see how they behave, because in the end they run the story. I just follow with the pencil, right? And so
you put these things in their way as challenges, really.
That's right. It's the
and then you wait to see how the poor creatures turn out.
That's right. Yeah, I got this tip from Stephen King used to do this very effectively.
Yeah.
He used to put his characters in very strange situations, very average characters in strange situations, and see how they come out. And it's actually a very interesting way to do it, because, you know, we could be faced with one of these things, you know, someday. And
sure.
Then the question is, how will we behave? And so that's the question to the reader.
Okay. And Jennifer, what attracted you to Shane's manuscript? Why did you want to publish it?
We're taking a switch over from our usual light and fluffy works that we've been publishing, and we're exploring more literary fiction. Shane's stories are raw and they're honest and compelling. So when you start reading them, you have to see it through to the end, even though the subject matter is difficult to get through sometimes, because things like suicide and abuse are not easy things to read, but they do happen. And he writes without any prejudice about it. The events happen, the characters are dealing with their situation, and they have to move forward in some manner. It might not be the way you want them to go forward as the reader, but it it all makes sense, and it works in the sense that you can relate to the decisions that they make and the struggles that they're going through. And I think people need to read books like this because these things happen in real life. Mm-hmm. So that's what attracted us.
Sounds like a good reason to me.
Well, I'm glad they did, because it's not easy to find publishers for this type of material, and also to find readers, because right now popular fiction is based on, you know, things that make us feel good. And yet, you know, the classics, when you look at The Heart of Darkness and you look at some of the stories that have endured for eons, have been stories that really took us into uncomfortable places.
Okay, well, how about reading to us from Crossing Limbo? Okay. What story are you going to choose to take an excerpt?
Well, I'm going to read the opening section of a story called The Second Chance. Okay. In fact, that's one of the things that I'm constantly trying to advocate, is that we do get a second chance if we foul up the first one. And it's about an older man who's taking a cruise to relive his honeymoon cruise that he took 40 years ago with his now dead wife. And he's looking to see whether he can find that magic that sparked off 40 years ago. So it's called The Second Chance. Rocco lurches down the corridor, holding the handrail as the ship groans and sways left, then right. Tonight is rough, rougher than most on the Mediterranean. He has walked this corridor many times on the voyage, unable to sleep, plagued by the time zone shift and by ghosts from the past that assail him when he allows his mind to rest. The digital clock in his stateroom flashes the moment he begins dropping off to sleep, jolting him awake. He has wondered if his insomnia is partly due to the results of his last medical test, a test that has prompted this voyage. A young woman in a short, glittery dress careens towards him, swaying from more than the ship's motion. Glazed eyes stare through mascara-plastered eyelashes. She whispers a muffled "scusi," bumps him and passes, leaving him in a wake of perfume, perspiration, and alcohol. The sound of the disco thumps through a doorway. "Ah, to be young and unthinking again," mutters Rocco, as he turns and gazes after the woman who has found her cabin and is fumbling with the pass key. She drops the key and swears, and as she bends to pick it up, the ship lurches, sending her sprawling on all fours across the narrow passageway. He goes to her rescue. He has always done this, rescue damsels in distress, often to his detriment. They were most vicious when he held elevator doors open for them, a practice he has since given up. He reaches the woman and extends a hand. She accepts it gratefully and pulls herself up. She's strong, and he almost falls on top of her, but his grip on the handrail holds. He pushes the fallen key towards her with his patent leather shoe, and she, still holding onto his hand, reaches down and picks it up. She slides it into the lock upside down and starts cranking the door handle violently. "Un momento," he says, reverses the key in the slot, and the door swings open just as the ship tilts sharply to starboard, dragging them both into her cabin. The vessel rights itself, slamming the cabin door shut behind him. He's inside an unfamiliar cabin with a drunk Italian woman. Surely, she must be traveling with a young man closer to her age who will barge in at any moment and kick him out. He tries to retrace his steps and leave, but she is still holding onto him with one hand. The rest of her has fallen across the bed. A single bed.
Why did you choose this particular story to read, Shane?
Well, as I said, the title is called A Second Chance. You know, I have always believed in second chances. I've had second chances. I don't believe in the third chance, because they say, you know, to err is human, to repeat it is folly. And so, once you get a second chance, you don't deserve a third. But this guy deserves a second chance, because, you know, he had his honeymoon 40 years ago. His wife's passed on. He's trying to recapture lost magic, and maybe he deserves it. So that's why I picked it. The story doesn't quite have a happy ending, but then that's for you to find out, or the reader to find out.
Okay. Thank you, Shane. Now we'll take a short break.